Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. It's good to be with you today, as always. It's good to continue our visit with our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg. William Dunkelberg is chief economist for National Federation of Independent Business, but that's just one of his jobs. His other job is his main job, I guess, is a professor of economics at Temple University in beautiful downtown Philadelphia. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Which is your full-time job?
Well, I think being a professor is probably my real job. Right now it is. It's grading time.
Yeah. It's the end of the
semester.
Complete
full-time. It's, how many 15 hours a day.
How many students you have?
About 160 in three classes.
Total or in the three different classes?
Well, total in the three classes.
Yeah, in the three. I see.
Right.
Bill, you are back to help us understand what's going on in the economy. You, once a month for the last something under 100 years, you've been polling small business owners across the country. You're members of the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, about what wakes them up at night, what they're excited about, what's the good news, what's the bad news. You've been doing that now for some time. And once a month, you report to us on what they say. Give us a little bit of an idea. Are they happy right now, or are they less frightened than they were?
Well, I think they're very happy right now. We have, of course, the Small Business Optimism Index, which is a composite of 10 questions. And that index value now is over 105. And the only time it's been higher are in the last three quarters of 1983, which, of course, was the precedent to one of the longest and best expansions in U.S. economic history.
Mm-hmm.
So, in comparison, we think we're ready to have another one of those nice long runs, and that's really what the signal we're getting from the small business sector.
I've been saying that the recession is over, the recovery is over, and the expansion is afoot. What do you think? Am I right?
Well, I think that's basically right. I'm not sure how you divide the line between the recovery and expansion, but it is true that this economy has grown every quarter since 9/11. That is, even in the last quarter of 2001, we grew almost 3%, which is trend growth. And we've had a few slower quarters since then, down in the 1% range, but also we've been up to 5% and, of course, 8%. So we've had a lot of volatility, but really we've had growth since that time. Now the growth rate, of course, is really picking up pace, and that's what people feel. They feel the wind in their face now. It's going faster, and they like that.
Yeah, and the stock market is a pretty emotional beast. Small business owners are not quite as emotional, I think, because we're down a little bit lower. We're a little bit closer to the challenges, I think, than the stock market is. But we do like positive news, don't we? We like it when we have a reason to be optimistic. I mean, we're pathological optimists anyway. I mean, there is no single group more pathologically optimistic than small business owners, than entrepreneurs. So it's not like we don't have our antenna run up all the time looking for reasons to be happy, to be positive, and to be optimistic. And so any kind of a wind that blows that kind of news, we're receptive, aren't we?
That's it. We're compulsive optimists. When you have to be an optimist to put it all on the line, which is what small business owners do every day. So you have to be optimistic about the future and what the future looks like in this country, in this economy. And, of course, history bears you out. I mean, this is a good place to be an optimist and be an entrepreneur. But we're also pragmatists in the sense that we sense the ebbs and the flows of the economy because they come in and out of our front door. And so we like that door revolving a lot. We like to see a lot of people coming through, and of course that's what's happening today. And it's reflected in this optimism index. We have over half of our owners think the economy, think the economy will be better 6 months from now than it is today. And that's really saying something given the rate of growth. We rarely are this optimistic about growth in the economy, and now we're really very optimistic.
Well, and also, if I understood your graphs properly, even though those who were more optimistic than the ones who were not as optimistic, the optimism was a much higher number than whatever the deficit was on the other side. I mean, we like the trend in the numbers too, don't we?
Oh, sure. I mean, we never did sink very far. Just as the economy didn't really go very far down in the last recession, you know, neither did our kind of measures of small business optimism and all the components. So we didn't sink too far, and now we're moving, and I think that's the trend is very good. Earnings are up, sales are up, plans to do inventories are up. Everything's headed kind of up or at a very good level.
Hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg, and we're going to talk about what keeps small business owners up at night. Stay with us. 20 till. Stay with us. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1990... We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and our good friend and the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And I encourage you to check out their website, the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. And also, they have representatives who will call on you. And when they do, next time one does, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Give them 10 minutes of your time. Tell them I said so. And let them give you their best shot. And I think you'll find that it doesn't take a lot to become part of that community that I have been a member of. Now, Bill, as you know, Bill, I've been a member of the NFIB for probably a dozen years or so, and they do good work, and I encourage you to check them out and to find out what they've got going on, because for one thing, you get to help support the good work that Bill Dunkelberg does. Bill, one of the things that I, when I think about small business owners these days, you tell me if I'm wrong based on your polling. You know, I think some of us are a little bit like the Iraqis before Saddam was captured. You know, we're pretty much sure they were pretty sure that he was gone, but they weren't 100% sure. I think maybe sometimes small business owners, we're pretty sure that the bad economic news is gone, but we're not 100% sure. So we're kind of like the pilgrims. We trust in God, but keep our powder dry.
Well, that's probably always a good idea. And of course, one of the other problems we have is that the way the press reports on the economy, it's rare that they really give you a lot of good news. They always find the little things that aren't going well. And you know, there's always some place, some time, somewhere in the economy that isn't running as well as we'd like to see it. You know, listening to the retail reports this morning, they're making it sound like it's going to be a bad Christmas season again. Now, they've done that for the last 3 years, but every one of them has been a record. And it's going to be the same story this time. But they don't look for the good side somehow or another. To the press, it seems it has to be bad to be news, not good to be news. It's rare they really play something good.
Could a network of nothing but good news work? Would it succeed, Bill?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you'd like to think that it would, but you do need to know what, you know, big, major, not-so-good events are. But you know, if you just look at the local news and you look at all those the events they report on, it's not clear that that's news that's really helpful to you. And there might be a lot of good news that would be just as useful or more useful than what you pick up on the local news, for example.
Well, here's what the news would sound like. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. 10,000 planes landed safely yesterday. And 290 million Americans woke up happy and healthy.
Right, and 100,000 new jobs.
Would you sponsor that, Bill?
Sure. No, I'd like to do that.
I think we ought to work on that, Bill. Let's talk about some of the things that are the biggest challenges for small business owners. Has the list changed any?
Well, the list hasn't changed too much. You know, there's some rotation, but I think the interesting thing is that at the top of the list still is the cost and availability of insurance. 28% of the respondents to our November survey said that was their number one business problem. And it's been, you know, up there now for a year or two as the top problem. It's beating out taxes and regulation and even the weak sales, you know, complaints about weak sales numbers. So it's hanging in there. It's still bothersome to us. The rates are high. They go directly to the bottom line. They're like a tax on our earnings because we don't get any more insurance for the money. We just pay more for what we had if we can still get it. That's not mm-hmm. so good.
Is the Medicare bill that expanded and enriched the value of medical savings accounts, now called health savings accounts, is that gonna help in this category?
Well, I think in the longer run that'll help. I think the whole idea ought to be to wean us away from depending on the government to pay for everything, mm-hmm. because of course the government has no money of its own and has to reach into our pockets to help us pay for our stuff. And that's a very inefficient process. We send all the money to Washington; they spend a lot of it in wonderful buildings and inefficiency in hiring too many people, and then a little bit of it comes back to us, and we thank them for that, which we should be angry about how much.
What's wrong with that picture?
Right. It's not the way it ought to be. I think if we take a longer perspective, we ought to, though, be happy that we don't have as our number one problems inflation, which is the all-time vote-getter in our survey over 30 years, and the cost and availability of credit. Those got more votes than anything has ever received. And, of course, when those are the number one concerns of our small business owners, you know somebody in Washington is making serious mistakes. So at least the polls are telling us that, you know, there's nothing is so serious going on in Washington right now that we have to worry about. The insurance issue, we understand. We know why it's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And, of course, government could help us a little bit on that by kind of getting us out of the regulated medical care delivery business. But looking better.
Well, the reason that I pointed that out is one of the good things about the Medicare bill, which has had a lot of things wrong with it, but one of the good things is this health savings account issue, because it seems to me that is a step in the direction of portability, of getting the tax code more aligned with the 21st century realities of the marketplace rather than still being stuck in how we operated in the 20th century.
Just putting the resources back into the control of the private sector, which I think, you know, you and I believe, and so do I think all small business owners, that better decisions get made there when people are accountable. If the government's making the decisions, then, of course, we'll take all we can get because we think it's coming out of somebody else's pocket.
Right. Absolutely. Bill, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to get Bill to tell us about what he found this last month in his polling cycle with regard to prices. You know, one of the biggest challenges we've had in the last 3 or 4 years has been a lack of pricing power. And we're going to get Bill to explain what lack of pricing power is, or what it means to have pricing power, and whether we're going to have any in the year coming up in 2004. Right after these messages, it's 10 Till. Stay with us. I'm just beginning to see. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg is the professor of economics at Temple University and chief economist now for a number of years of the National Federation of Independent Business. We're talking about how the small business owners he polled in the last 30 days have felt about the economy. Bill, tell us about pricing. You know, well, first, as a professor of economics, tell us what pricing power means, when you have it, when you don't have it, and then blend in with us what your respondents told you about their pricing power.
Well, from the point of view of economic theory, I guess the only kinds of firms with pricing power are, you know, monopolists. They can raise prices to whatever they want. Because they don't have to fear competition. So, you know, our electric company and our water company and a few other companies often accused of being monopolists who might have some pricing power. But that's really pricing power. It's the ability to mark the price up above your true cost, which include a normal return to the capital invested in the business. So if you can just set your price kind of wherever you want and get away with it, you know, good, you got it.
Would one way to look at it, sort of a simple small business way, be If your expenses go up 5%, you can raise your prices commensurate with that increase. Maybe you're not trying to be greedy. You're just simply trying to cover your costs.
Well, I think that's kind of closer to the sense that the term has been used in the press these days. Pricing power really means being able to raise your price, you know, a little bit anyway, and make it stick. That is, mm-hmm. not having to cut your price again later to keep your business or whatever. Now, the longer haul, of course, you know, if you raise your price to cover costs, then everybody probably has the same cost problem, so everybody will raise price to cover costs.
And that's inflation.
And prices go up, right. But in an environment where, you know, costs aren't really going anywhere, then, of course, it's very difficult to raise prices because all small businesses have lots of competitors. So mm-hmm. you try to raise your price and get a little better margin, some competitor will say, you know what, I'll keep my price where it is. I'm still in business. I'm making enough money, and I'll try to steal some market share. And that's really the problem that we have. So if you look at, you know, the overall inflation rate in the economy is very low, which means overall costs aren't going anywhere much. So you've got the situation in which, say, for the first 8 months of this year, we had, you know, say 12% of our firms raising prices, but we also had 12% cutting prices. So on net, nobody's raising prices. It obviously happens in some industries. Housing has been doing very well, so house prices are going up, and insurance prices are going up, but then lots of other prices are going down. So we've been zero for the first 8 months, and only in the last few months have we seen an uptick and the percentage of firms who raised their selling prices and obviously were able to make it stick. We're looking at about a 6% net number now, and that's that's a little bit different than it's been for the last year or two.
Well, and isn't this something that small business owners can really count on? Is instead of it being this being a temporary thing, isn't pricing difficult, having a difficult time raising prices with the globalization situation, with the internet becoming a major factor in the marketplace, isn't this going to be something we're going to have to live with for some time? Now, we're going to have to operate very efficiently because we're not going to be able to raise prices whenever we want.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. What we're seeing not so much is more firms raising prices today, but fewer cutting prices, and that's how we get to a net positive number. Now that there are more customers coming in the door, you have less sense that you have to cut prices in order to get them or keep them. And so you're at least leaving your prices alone. And, of course, that's showing up in the profit numbers, which have been trending up nicely over the past few months as well. It's nice not to have to cut your prices to keep your business. But that does mean, on average, the prices are going up a little bit more.
Well, and, you know, Bob, the Wall Street Journal reports that corporate profits are up, but they're talking about big companies. When you do your survey, you report for us on small companies, and it looks like that's, as you mentioned, profits are actually trending upward for small businesses, aren't they?
Yeah, we had the best reading in November that we've had for, you know, at least a year, and that's a good sign. And again, if you just don't have to cut your prices, that means you're going to do better. And so,
well, it could mean that instead of having to give somebody a 10% discount to get their business, maybe you only had to give them 5%.
And or maybe all you had to do is just give them good service
exactly.
for a chain.
Imagine that. Who would have thunk about that, right?
Yeah, and that's enough because everybody else feels the same thing, so you don't get the pressure from your competitor to cut prices because they, too, have noticed more people are there, and so there's less pressure to cut prices in business.
Nobody does service better than small business. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate your time, sir.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.